Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic who joins us weekly, and, drumroll please, the films are My Friend Dahmer, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and Coco. Well, David, this is a potpourri.
Well, Jill, it certainly is. Three films which are very different in tone, especially the last one is quite different from the first two. But I thought, hey, let's get into the holiday spirit by talking about My Friend Dahmer, which is, in fact, about Jeffrey Dahmer, the infamous serial killer. Who killed, I think it ultimately turned out to be, have been 17 people, some of whom he cannibalized parts of, or certainly kept parts of them around, and that sort of thing. And the movie has the unusual title of My Friend Dahmer, and it is based on a graphic novel of that same title, a very good graphic novel, by the way, by a fellow who goes by the name of Durf Backdurf, and who is also a character in the movie. And he was, in fact, a friend of Jeffrey Dahmer's. They went to high school together. And what happened was that some years ago, Durf Backdurf wrote this graphic novel about his friend, Jeffrey Dahmer, and about their experiences together in high school and what his friend was like growing up. And it is in no way an apology for Dahmer. Backdurf makes it very, very clear that he feels that Dahmer shouldn't have done these things, should not have been a serial killer and cannibal and all that, and that he should have stopped himself by any means necessary, whatever it would have taken, the very, very first time he felt the urge to do any of this. He also, however, blames the grown-ups in Dahmer's life for having been totally oblivious to what was going on in a kid who was obviously troubled, even to look at him from the outside. And so it is, again, it is not an excuse for Dahmer. It is not an apology for Dahmer, but it is a portrait of Dahmer as a human being, as a kid growing up. And this is a very, very interesting thing. Now, I've discovered over the years, partly through my domestic partner, Makita Brotman, through her interest in serial killers and in crime generally, that there's a lot of people around who are very, very interested in this stuff in a serious sort of way. I've discovered this in recent years, there's a lot of women who are very interested in serial killers. It's not only a male thing by any means, but Dahmer is definitely way up there on the list of famous ones. And so My Friend Dahmer, I think, and by the way, I found it a very, very interesting movie. It's by no means a great movie, but a very interesting movie because it really does get you at least a little bit inside the head of this guy and gives you a little bit of sense of what maybe have been going on in there that may help to just begin to give the slightest hints of explanation for how these kinds of things can happen. After watching My Friend Dahmer, I was then inspired to watch something I had seen before, at least parts of it, a documentary called Confessions of a Serial Killer, which was done for MSNBC by Stone Phillips not too long before Dahmer died. Dahmer was eventually beaten to death in prison. Stone Phillips has a long interview, about an hour and a half long, mostly with Dahmer and his father, when Dahmer was in prison. And I've always found this very, his mother is in it too, but she's not with the other two physically. I always found it very interesting that Jeffrey Dahmer's father remained close to him. And recognize, of course, that what his son did was absolutely monstrous, but also recognize that his son appeared to have been completely overwhelmed by these horrific urges. And therefore, he continued to love his son, even though I'm sure being very relieved that his son was in prison and couldn't do anything like this anymore. Dahmer himself, why did he think he did all these things? He seems to say, I simply don't know. It was something I couldn't possibly even begin to resist. So all of this is in the movie My Friend Dahmer, which was written and directed by a guy named Mark Myers, who's directed a few movies and does a nice job with this. Now, My Friend Dahmer does focus on the Dahmer who was in high school, and like the graphic novel, it gives some of his behavioral traits. For example, he started to really, really, really drink a lot. He was drinking an enormous amount, apparently trying to dull down some of the horror that he felt within himself and that he knew was in himself. Grown-ups didn't notice this or pretended not to notice this. His parents were fairly consumed by their own not getting along very well and moving toward divorce, so they didn't notice a lot of this stuff. In the meanwhile, Dahmer is dissecting animals and preserving parts of animals with chemicals stolen from his father, who was a chemist, and doing things like this. So My Friend Dahmer is definitely a dark movie, but it is not a horrifying movie, except for, of course, its underlying subject. I think the main flaw in it is Ross Lynch, something of a teen heartthrob nowadays, who gives what I found a rather uninteresting performance as Dahmer. He walks funny. I did not find it persuasive. In fact, I was much more impressed by the young actor Alex Wolff, who plays Durf Backdurf, Dahmer's high school friend, who I thought was really excellent, and I wish they would have dyed his hair blonde and let him play Dahmer. I also want to give a shout out to Vincent Kartheiser, who is in it very briefly as an MD, who gives Dahmer a physical examination. Kartheiser was the wonderful one of the wonderful characters, my personal favorite character on Mad Men when that was going strong, Pete. So it was fun to see him even in a small role in this movie. So again, I was being ironic when I said at the beginning that My Friend Dahmer gets us in the holiday spirit. It doesn't. But it's a good movie. It's a minor movie. It's kind of a forgettable movie, but it's a good movie, and it gives a little bit of insight into one of the more horrifying phenomena that was in the real world in recent times. Moving on to Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, this comes under the category of movies that I find to be hilariously overrated. Actually, not hilariously, maybe horrifyingly overrated. Written and directed by Martin McDonagh, a filmmaker and a playwright whose work I'm not all that fond of generally, but this movie has been so totally praised to the skies by so many people, not everybody, but by so many people, that I thought, well, great, Martin McDonagh has finally made a movie that's really excellent, and I can't wait to see it. Well, when I caught up with it, I also noticed what a wonderful cast it has. People like the terrific Woody Harrelson, who is almost always in good movies, Peter Dinklage, one of the fine actors of our time, Frances McDormand is in it, Sam Rockwell. Wonderful cast, terrific stuff going on here on the outside, but once I saw the movie, I was very, very underwhelmed by it. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri is the story of a woman played by Frances McDormand, an ordinary woman. She runs a store, who has been, her daughter was horrifyingly raped and murdered. Yeah, we're back in the Christmas spirit again. I can't help it, but this is one of the big releases at the moment. Her daughter was horrifyingly raped and murdered. And she feels that the police have not done all that they could or should be doing in order to capture the person who perpetrated this absolute horror. So at the very beginning of the movie, she buys space on three enormous billboards outside this small town, and she sets up messages which are designed to humiliate, embarrass, and goad the local police into doing more to find the murderer. And this sets off a chain of events, which ends up being, it has a lot of awful things happen. And it has some amusing things that happen in it, too, but I won't reveal more than that. Now, I mentioned the wonderful cast. Frances McDormand plays the woman who sets up the billboard. She is really the main character in the movie. And Frances McDormand is a very fine actress, and this is sort of a redo of what's probably the greatest role of her career, movie role at least, which was in Fargo, of course, the Coen Brothers movies. And here she's doing a sort of a version. She's not a police officer in this one, and, you know, it's not really Fargo, North Dakota, although it's not a very, you know, it's a pretty forbidding environment in its own way. But there she is. She's good. She knows how to do this kind of thing, and she does it just fine. Woody Harrelson, an actor I really, really like, plays the chief of police, who is the man who she is primarily after. Sam Rockwell plays the second in command police officer, regular police officer, who has also not been doing what he should be doing, in her opinion, and who is also turns out to be quite an out of control character in any number of ways himself. And Peter Dinklage plays a local barfly, and there's various other people in the movie as well. So what's wrong, in my opinion, with Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri? Well, maybe the first thing to say is why people seem to like it so much. People seem to find it this expert blend of the funny, the comic, the sad, the tragic, and even it, from time to time, the sort of horrifying things that happen. There's a lot of death that happens and people getting beat up and stuff in this movie. I found it incredibly manipulative. I just felt the writer-director, Martin McDonagh, just grabbing me by the lapels and spinning me in this direction and saying, be amused, and now spinning me, and now, to your great surprise, be horrified, and now, to your great surprise, find this ironic. And I just found manipulated every single step of the way. And by the way, art on one level is about manipulation. It's about, especially storytelling art, it's about keeping you held in the storyteller's attention and giving you surprises. And okay, fine, it does those things, but I just felt like it was grabbing me and spinning me and turning me, and the horrifying parts I didn't like. I just found them sort of nasty, and the funny parts weren't all that funny. And so in the end, I thought, Woody Harrelson, Peter Dinklage, wonderful actors like you, what have you wrought? The only real surprise in it was that Sam Rockwell, who's a good actor, gives a spectacular performance in this, probably even outdoes the other two. Also, he has a pretty meaty role. And he doesn't quite outdo Frances McDormand, but she, as usual, is fine. So I can't recommend Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I wish I could. I would say go find some billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri and gaze at them for a while. You'll have a better time. Finally, we got to turn to Coco. And I am happy to turn to Coco. Finally, now we are somewhat in the holiday spirit, although the holiday isn't exactly Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa. The holiday is more the Day of the Dead, because this movie has a lot to do with the Mexican Day of the Dead. The main character is a young boy, and he comes from a family which hates music. And there's a whole back, his name is Miguel. There's a whole backstory at the beginning of the film as to why his entire family hates music. It has something to do with what happened to his great grandmother, who was ditched by her musician husband, ages and ages ago. The whole family hates music. But Miguel's ambition is to be a singer. And not only to be a singer, guitar player like his hero, Ernesto de la Cruz, a great singer and a movie actor, that is his goal. He isn't even allowed to have a guitar because his entire family despises music with this almost, well, this rage. So what is Miguel going to do? Well, in a surprise that happens at the beginning of the movie, he finds himself in the land of the dead. Yes, he finds himself in the land of the dead. And once he's there, he realizes now he can find his great-great-grandfather. Now he can find Ernesto de la Cruz, his hero. He hadn't realized at the beginning, Ernesto de la Cruz, the great former movie actor and singer, was only his hero. But now he discovers that Ernesto de la Cruz was in fact his great-great-grandfather, or at least so he figures out through some sort of detective work. So he is traveling through the land of the dead looking for Ernesto de la Cruz, his great-great-grandfather, and having all kinds of adventures along the way. So we have a movie here that takes place not entirely, but almost entirely in the land of the dead. Sounds morbid? Well, this is, after all, a Pixar animation. So it is a visual treat, and of course it is not a dark film at all. It has a PG rating, and it is a very light and bright film in pretty much all ways. And it has a very engaging story, which was really fun to follow. In fact, I think this is really the best Pixar movie in quite a long while. It's probably, I'm going to change that. I'm going to say this is certainly one of the best Pixar movies ever. Stands up near the very, very top. Directed by Lee Unkrich, with co-director being one Adrian Molina. So one of the things that Coco has, being all about a young aspiring musician searching for his movie star, singer, star, hero, it does have a fair amount of music in it, but it's not one of these Disney films like they used to have in olden times sometimes, which would get slowed down and stalled by the music. The music is, there's not that much of this sort of standalone music where people are just singing and dancing or something, and it's integrated nicely into the story as a whole. Also, as usual, well, probably as always with the Disney movies and the Pixar movies, we have here quite a marvelous voice cast. I'll just mention some of the people. Anthony Gonzalez, obviously a young man, plays Miguel, the boy, is quite wonderful. But we have people like Gael Garcia Bernal. We have Benjamin Bratt, who plays the voice of Ernesto de la Cruz. I'm not going to go through all kinds of people. Now, on one level, I was a little bit skeptical of Coco going in, because I thought, we all know that Hollywood has been under extremely justified attack in recent years for being so limited in its depiction of American minorities and minorities generally. So is this going to be one of these things where they're just bending over backward to please, you know, Latino moviegoers around the world? No, I really don't think so. It is very Latino. The music is very Latino. The characters are very Latino. There are Spanish accents everywhere, even a little bit of Spanish speaking. But it is really a full-fledged, marvelously produced Disney Pixar film. And again, one of the best in a very long time. Now, I took the trouble to drive out of town and see it in 3D. And it's well worth that trouble, I think. It really looks good in 3D, but I don't think it's necessary. The 3D effects are not all that. They're not sort of hit-you-in-the-face effects. They just sort of move along very nicely, and they're nicely and tastefully done. So of the three movies of today, Joe, I can say, my friend Dahmer, if you're up for something really offbeat and against the grain, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, if you're really desperate for a movie to go see and you really want to have some thrills and sort of be manipulated and don't mind that. But if you really got to go see a movie that is in the holiday spirit right now, I can't do better than recommend Coco. It's a lot of fun. And that is my extremely diversified story this week, Joe.
Diversified indeed. Thank you very much, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films, My Friend Dahmer, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and Coco.